The film crickets are intended for mature audiences. Any guests on the film crickets do not necessarily share the same opinions as the film crickets.
Film crickets, chirping about movies.
It's time for the film crickets with Jay Fortier, Chris Martineau, and Melanie Howerton. On this week's episode, our good friend Ray Ogier stops by the show.
Yeah, self-taught, no lessons. Thank you very much, Pop.
And Jay, Chris, Melanie, and Ray review the 1998 American romantic comedy film, The Wedding Singer.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Does it stand the test of time? Let's find out. Your film crickets are on now.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the Film Crickets. My name is Jay Fortier. I'm along with my good friend, Melanie Howerton. How you doing, Melanie?
Good. How are you guys doing?
All right. Chris is off today, but we are joined once again. We haven't seen him since Urban Cowboy. Could be a horror movie. It's Ray Ogier.
Hey, guys. I don't think I've recovered from that one. That's why I've avoided you guys for a while.
Yeah.
I
think
brush off Urban Cowboy. And this is a good one, though.
Yeah.
Happy to come back for this one.
Yeah.
Nice. I know.
Always happy to be here, though.
Thank you. We're happy to have you. We had arranged this with you a while ago, and then things were just not working out, like timing, yeah. And you'd have a gig or whatever, and but we've already kind of talked about this movie with you, I don't want to just do it right. With anybody else. Chris couldn't make it today; he's at a hockey game. Lousy. Best. No, I'm just kidding.
Better than being at the Patriots game today.
Yeah, that'd be worse. It's one of those, once we try to do a show with somebody about a specific movie, I want to at least try to make that the movie that they do with us next, if that's what they want to do, we're going to be doing The Wedding Singer, and I don't know if you remember, do you remember the artwork I made? For the thumbnail?
Vaguely.
Okay.
This?
Yeah, so I took a picture of Ray in his 80s outfit, because he's been in 80s bands, 80s cover bands and stuff that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I put him in that, and I said, with the OG wedding singer.
That's right, yeah, that was good.
But listen, so this movie came out, what year? 97?
I didn't write a thing down, so I'm relying on you guys.
Well, you're going to laugh at this.
I'll go on the IMDb while we're talking.
Okay. Whatever.
I made some notes, and I did a little bit of trivia, but I didn't write.
Hey, yeah, you know what, Ray? You can be Chris today. You can do the IMDb one-sentence breakdown.
Oh, there you go. All right.
So while we're pulling that up, though, this is the time where Chris usually goes, what does this movie mean to you? I would say that this was one of the first 80s throwbacks of the 90s.
Really.
Yeah.
Right. Like when we see an 80s movie now, they're a little more common. But in the middle of the 90s, it wasn't that common because we just left the 80s not that long ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So there weren't many throwbacks yet. And then this finally came out. Not only when did you see it and all that stuff, but what did it mean to you when you saw it? Why is it good? If you think it's good. I mean, I think it's good, but I'll tell you why later. But what makes you, Melanie, what do you think, one, when did you see it? Or if you remember it all, do you own it? The whole nine yards.
Okay. So I own it, and I bought it for my daughter, my youngest daughter. And I probably saw it when it first came out. I just don't remember, but I'll just tip my hat. Freaking love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. There's just nothing that I don't love about this movie. I'm in love with this movie. It just brought back so many things, which was so funny. I mean, just the way that everybody's dressed, and just, I can't even tell you, just every little thing in this movie just reminds me of just, I was there, kind of a thing. And it's just so funny. Just the way Adam Sandler is in this, and just, I don't want to go too far into it, but I don't know. I just absolutely love it. It kind of it's a homey type of movie, because it just makes you, you were there. You were brought up with all of this music, which is a great soundtrack, and brought up with the hairdos and the clothes and everything. So it's a fun movie.
It's awesome. Ray?
Well, first of all, this came out in 1998. So there's that. Yeah. It wasn't so far, like you said, Jay, from the 80s themselves. So we weren't too far behind. We remembered all that stuff. Now, I'm putting this movie, and I'm sure there is a date, and I don't know what it is, but I'm putting it at like 1983, what it's set in.
I think it said 85 at the beginning.
Really?
No, I'm talking about what they said.
No, I know. But I'm thinking of the Van Halen, like take the Van Halen shirt off before the band breaks up.
Oh, yeah, there's so much.
1980, I'm trying to think of when the new Sammy song came, album came out.
It does say 85.
85. It may have come out at 85, right. But the band broke up in 1984.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Van Halen?
I'm a stickler with the, like, I'll watch the Goldbergs, and it drives me nuts when something happens later or earlier, where I'm trying to place the timeline, and it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, I got to get away from that. I love this movie because I grew up with Adam Sandler movies, but they were always so goofy, and even this one is goofy. It's not as childish and goofy as his other ones. So this was the first time that Adam Sandler really showed his acting chops and his romantic lead man chops. The first time that he did something with Drew Barrymore, which he would do, I think, two more times after that. He really grew as an actor, and you could see, wow, if this is the direction he's going, he's gonna have a pretty good career. And he did. So I just remember that being exciting about this movie, other than the music and the styles. I mean, in 84, 85, I was 13 years old. So I guess I was kind of in the thick of it, junior high, dressing the part in Duran Duran all over my walls. And so I could relate like anybody else. I don't know we could talk about whether it holds up later, but that's what it means to me.
I did not see it in the theater. I'd seen the trailer, but for some reason didn't run to the theater to see it. And I saw it on video, instant love. My wife and I, or, it was my girlfriend at the time, but we fell in love with this movie. We watched it incessantly. It was just it was so all the time. So we bought it, and just, I ended up having to rebuy it. I don't know if it skipped or something. So, had to buy it twice. Now, my son likes to play with my DVDs, stack them and stuff, and then next thing you know, they're missing. So I couldn't find my copy. I couldn't even watch this, and I wasn't going to rent it because I know I own it.
Same here.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I was like, yes, but this is branded into my brain.
Yes.
Yeah. I so much that it's I don't need to. I just want to, and I can't.
Yeah.
Because it's not free anywhere. I was kind of pissed about that, but
even $4 seemed like a lot. Even $4 seemed like a lot. I almost rented it in the middle of the Pats game when I was done with that. But $4, I'm like, I've seen it. I mean, I've probably seen it 25, 26, 27 times.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I used the final song that he sings as our wedding cake cutting song. Yeah.
Oh, that's
we
cute.
We cut our cake to it. Yeah.
Awesome. Grow old with
I wish it was our original idea, but somebody else did it. And we were like, we love that. So we did that too. It was so good. Yeah. I want to grow old with you. So we did that. And now I was asking why is this so good? And I think the reason I'm thinking that this movie is so good, and we'll get to it all, but I think it's so good because, yes, they use a ton of 80s references, but they're not the joke. We laugh about it, but the story is so good that we're not upset. That did anybody see that 80s show?
Yes.
Came out a minute after that 70s show, because that 70s show was doing so well.
Right.
Well, that 80s show was trying to use 80s pop culture as the punchline.
Right.
And it wasn't funny.
Right. And then I think, speaking of the Goldbergs again, they got it right with the 80s. The 80s weren't the joke. It was just the timeline that they were in.
Yeah.
And
the writing needs to be good.
Yes, exactly. Do you remember the episode where they were on the plane that Adam Sandler and Drew Carey were on? They did a whole plane episode, and they kept talking about how there was a couple, this guy singing to his girlfriend in the back. What's his name? Billy Idol shows up, because he was in Wedding Singer, but he comes over to the Goldberg side. That was kind of a cool crossover that didn't involve. Yeah, that was really good.
I loved that show. I watched like so many years of it, like at least four or five, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you know when stuff like my wife and I have different schedules. We have different schedules, so like it's sometimes like you know you rely on the DVR, and then you're like, okay, I'm saving this for when we get the chance. Next thing you know, there's like 30 episodes of the Goldbergs.
And then what's the point at that point?
Yeah,
and it's like you know what, I'm just gonna wait till it's over and I'll watch it on Hulu or something. Like, you know, I'll just we'll pick it up later. You know, so we couldn't complete like it's just and then you're out of it now.
Yeah.
So, but I did love it. It was a really good show.
Happened to us because I was watching them all the time, recording them, and my husband just stopped watching it. And then, you know, then I was like, okay, well, now I got to watch these on my own because he doesn't want to watch it anymore. When am I going to sit there and watch it on my own? So, same thing. They just kept piling up, and every once in a while, I would go and watch like a couple, and then I was like, okay, whatever. I think we might have changed cable services too, and we lost all of them. I'm like, okay, whatever.
It lost its luster. It did. So you saw the first five, six seasons. Those were the best, and then it kind of went a little downhill from there.
Because I got to where the daughter was in college, and then some past that. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I think it was right around the National Lampoon's Vacation episode. And that's about when I didn't get to continue, but and I agree, Ray. I think his acting was like the first time he wasn't going, you know, like doing all his like weird goofy stuff, you know, like he was always like, you know, I mean, Happy Gilmore was a step in that direction, and then he upped it for this. I think he was a lot more sensitive and
well, he was growing into his fan base. We were all getting older, as you know, he was too. So when we got to a certain age, that's when he decided to be a little bit more mature, not 100%, which thankfully he didn't, because he's still goofy. But I think he was growing into his, like, the next thing I got to do for my fan base is something a little bit more adult oriented.
So good.
The way he does his voice for everything, like just the way he like talks, like through every movie, especially this one. He's so funny.
He's got that soft voice, and then he says, "It goes on like this," and starts yelling.
Yeah, like
that was horrible.
Again, would have been nice to know yesterday or whatever.
Whoopity doo!
Yeah, I wrote that down. Whoopity-doo. Down in my notes.
Cindy and Scott are newlyweds.
Yeah, what was it? He goes, "See, Cindy and Scott are newlyweds. Whoopity doo!"
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie in like 3 years. It's still branded into my brain.
I like when he's like, "Everybody spread the word. I live in my sister's basement."
Oh yeah, and then George is in the background. Yeah,
I don't know why he would come into work. He just got his heart broken, and the guy that made him come in goes, "I don't know."
Yeah, Alan Covert. He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You want to do the IMDb one sentence review?
Yeah, I think it's just the first thing that pops up, right? So it's Robbie, a singer, and Julia, a waitress, are both engaged, but to the wrong people. Fortune intervenes to help them discover each other.
All right. Nice.
And hilarity ensues.
And
it's funny they don't even mention like set in the 80s or anything, though.
Oh, you know what? I do want to mention one thing. We did the movie It's a Wonderful Life a couple of weeks ago, and I knew this bit of information, and I kept like meaning to say it, and I never did. The guy who played Mr. Parler is Lionel Barrymore, which is Drew Barrymore's great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I just thought that was kind of cool.
That is.
But, yeah, Drew Barrymore in this, she's great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I
this
mean,
could
like,
be Drew at her best. Yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. And it was just really the point of her career. I don't think it was her acting at the time. She's wonderful in it. But I think we really needed an innocent Drew Barrymore at that moment. And then I think that really helped her career doing this movie.
Right. I think Scream got her back on the map. And then this really took her to the next level again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they were both perfect in it. I think everybody that was in this movie is perfect. And you guys know I'm horrible with names. You know, you might have just mentioned him. What is that? The funny drunk guy at the wedding that I love so much that he's been in a thousand.
Steve Buscemi.
Oh, Steve Buscemi. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's so funny. He cracks me up too.
What I love about Adam Sandler's movies is he puts his friends in his movies, and more so now you see the same people in it all the time. So it becomes like summer camp when he decides to do a movie. And I love that about him. Even if he's not in it, his production companies is making movies for David Spade or Rob Schneider. And yeah. all of his friends he grew up with, like Alan, had a major part in the movie. Mm-hmm. The guy that always has the goofy eye, mm-hmm. that was one of his college friends. And then,
oh, really?
Yeah, and then the stoner guy from Grandma's House. He's yeah. in a lot of his movies as well. He was one of the wedding guests. Okay. He's like okay. a real tan-looking guy.
Right.
He puts yeah. his entourage in his movies, and then he yeah. puts all of his famous friends in there. Hmm?
Is that the quarterback from Waterboy?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about him. And Steve Buscemi, he's been really close with him for a long time, so he shows up in all of his movies.
I have a little piece about Chris Farley because he wanted to put him in that movie. That was one of the trivia things.
Oh, yeah? What was he going
to
do?
To get him in the movie. It just says that he originally asked his good friend Chris Farley to a cameo near the end of the film as a ticket agent in the airport who booked Robbie Hart and his flight to Vegas. And then it said Farley wanted to participate so much, but New Line refused to cast him because he was considered a liability because he had been in rehab so many times. And it said Sandler tried to appeal the idea to New Line, assuring them that Farley would be overcoming his drug problem, but they refused. And then sadly, he passed away from drug overdose a month and a half before the premiere of the film, which was December 18th, 1997.
And from what I know, I think the Kevin James character was supposed to be Chris Farley in Grown Ups because he had written it a while back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then he joined the group. So now he's in every Sandler movie. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was going to be the role of the ticket agent, the guy that had the flock of seagulls hair. Mm-hmm. I bet
that
you like Flock of Seagulls.
That is yes. a great moment. Yes.
That would have been an awesome Chris Farley cameo.
Yeah, especially if he made him have the hair.
Yes.
Like, how great would that have been? But, like, how great is the toast from Steve Buscemi? Like, when he's like, and my brother asked for me to be the best man at his wedding. I said, of course, man.
I'm the greatest guitar player ever.
Yeah.
Never took a lesson.
Yeah, it's just like, but you could see on the wedding guest's face. I'm the bride and groom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like when he goes, hey, remember that time in Puerto Rico when we picked up those two? I guess they were prostitutes, but I don't remember paying.
Adam Sandler saved that. Yeah.
And he's just like, I mean, you got music that you enjoy throughout this movie, like not just what he's playing, but then you got the little stuff on the side like that. Sick, twisted chef guy that, don't turn around. He's like, yes!
Yeah.
And he's got the Frankie Says Relax shirt.
Alexis Arquette. He was fantastic. Alexis Arquette.
Yeah.
All right. Is he the guy? Who's the guy that
Boy
was
George.
Gonna be taking? No, yeah, him, yeah. Okay, yeah, I know that. Yeah, he was amazing. What about the guy that was taking over? He was like, oh, I'm so glad you had your nervous breakdown because now I'm getting all the money.
Oh, John Lovitz.
He was hilarious when he was on the stage.
He showed up on Goldberg's too at one point. They were looking for a wedding DJ and he showed up or a singer. He's fantastic.
And even little tiny things that are funny in this, like when he does his, he's doing this Ladies Night song.
Yes.
And then when he's done, I think it was his name was Jimmy Morse or something like that. He goes, hey, I'm Jimmy Morse. And then I know sock in my crotch.
Oh, my God.
You're trying out to be somebody's wedding singer.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing you say as the song's over.
How about that sweet little old lady that was in Studio 54?
With the meatballs.
Yeah, the meatballs. That was my favorite part. She's like, put out your hand. She squeezes it after.
You just see him dripping.
Right now. That's my favorite part.
She became the rapping granny, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She's so cute.
Where did that come from? Where was rapping granny? That wasn't from Wedding Singer.
No.
Where did she originally do that?
Wait, no. She did do a rap in that. She did, didn't she?
Yeah, she did it at the end. She did the Rapper's Delight.
At the end.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, was she already famous for that? Because I just remembered the rapping granny. And I don't know if it was a commercial, maybe? I don't, well,
I'm not sure.
I know she was in Studio 54. Do you remember Studio 54?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie.
But she did rap at the end of this.
Yeah, Rapper's Delight. Yeah. It was after she sang her song to her husband. Like, they even introduced the Boy George character to sing "Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?" And they only know one song with him.
Yeah. So then, he was amazing. Just the look on his face, and he was super good. Anyway, I wouldn't have gotten sick of listening to that song over and over. I don't know what they were complaining about.
So the rapping granny, I'm sorry, just to digress here, was an actual rap star. I guess she was known to be a rap star, and I think that's what led her to a cameo on that film.
Is that the same person?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hmm. Well, there you go. Now we know.
All right.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know what I did hate, like, towards the end, though, when he's like, well, there's so many other funny parts. Like, I literally love it when they're all in the club and they're all singing Little China Girl. And the jerk is like, yeah, we all know the words. Like, shut up. Yeah. Like, such a jerk.
It's such a great line, though, from somebody like him. Like, that is what some jerk would say to his girlfriend if she was singing and annoying him at the same time. We all know the words. Thanks. That cringe.
And then, like, how sleazy he was. Like, when Adam Sandler was trying to get him, like, he's like, oh, yeah, but all the party stops when you get married, right? He goes, why? He's like, you know, talking about how he, you know, works far away and she's not going to know anything. And he, you know, he had somebody hotter than that and younger than that, like, last week. Like, he's such a jerk. You couldn't wait for him to just get out of the picture. Well, but he was awesome. He was like the guy that you want and love to hate, just like the guy from Happy Gilmore. You couldn't have any more perfect of a person.
Well, if you think about it, if you watch enough 80s movies, he is the ultimate 80s bad guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the bad boyfriend that the other guy's trying to get out of the picture. He shows up in a DeLorean. I love that. Yes. He's in a DeLorean to the Miami Vice theme song. It doesn't get any douchier than that. Yeah.
Wearing the white jacket.
Aren't you going to miss like Miami Vice? And he's like, no, I got to record it.
Something like that. Summer reruns.
Yeah. That's what he says. Yeah.
I got it covered.
So, yeah. She was like making fun of him, but he was serious.
Now, anybody else think this when you see the guy who's the brother-in-law? When, you know, like he's got
the Italian guy?
Yeah. He's got the giant eyebrows and he's got like kind of like a little afro going, but like he's also like ultra tan. Every time I saw him, I go, I can smell the cologne.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like Polo. When I just see it, Polo, yeah. Polo. There you go. It's just that type. Like, he's just like, hey, you know?
Like Fonzie or something. Yeah.
What'd you have in your drawer, Jay, growing up? What'd you have? I had Polo. I had
Lagos. Yeah, I did.
That was my favorite smell.
What about Drakkar? Drakkar was very good.
I still like the smell of Drakkar. Like, even though, I know it's overdone, like, you know, like, it's kind of like cliche, but, like, I still, like, they even make a Yankee candle called, like, Midnight or something like that, and it smells just like it. Two others that I had was Eternity and Obsession.
Obsession, I had a big bottle of Obsession. Yeah. Lagerfeld was another one that I had. Melanie, were you Liz Claiborne? My girlfriend.
No, I remember the musk. Remember that musk that girls wore all the time? I don't remember the
white
name
diamonds.
It was like it said musk on it.
Oh, it was the name.
And I remember that was kind of a big thing. I had like tons of stuff like that.
I work at a convenience store still, like on the weekends. And I, to this day, any guy that comes in with a musky cologne, it for some reason chokes me. I'm like, thank you, have a good day. it shuts my air pipe down, like thank you very much.
Now, are these guys of a certain age, or are kids still wearing cologne? I haven't put on cologne in, I don't know, since probably college.
I don't know. I absolutely love cologne, and I'll get it from my husband. He never wears it.
Yeah.
In fact, I swear to you, I have a Polo. Because I got him Polo when we started dating, and I have the bottle of it, I think, in the kitchen, because whenever I, like, if there's, like, a bad smell in the kitchen or somewhere, I'm like, I'm spraying the Polo because it's, like, this much left in it, and it's, like, old as the hills, and I'm like, I'm not going to put it on a body, but I'll spray it in the house.
Now I want cologne.
I use it's funny. I walked by, it was at, like, I think before Filene's closed, or
it's where you would get your cologne.
Right.
Wild Musk. That's what was the name of it.
Wild Musk.
Okay. Wild Musk.
Sorry. No, it's a really nice. I only like it if it's nice. Like if I like the smell, it doesn't matter what it is. And I happen to think this smelled nice. I wear a cologne with the. Look at that! Wow. mine is a Boston Red Sox cologne.
What?
Yeah.
It smells like third base.
Yeah. No, but like, listen, I wouldn't have bought it. I'm not the type to buy something just because of its name. I got to like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I smelled, I was like, wow, I like that a lot.
So, like now, like, it's not about brand name for me. Like if it smells good, I like it.
That's it. Like, I,
you know.
Just the visual takes me back to 1989.
See?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
This has been brought to you by Calvin Klein, everybody. It's our new official sponsor.
They had the obsession for women, too, because me and my friend had that, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this cologne sidetrack was a lot of fun. No, but it's great. I love this stuff.
Well, you know what? One thing I didn't like in the movie, they had to have it, but I just thought it was sad, was like when she was sitting in the, you know, in the dressing in her room and she was trying on the dress and she was crying and she was super upset. But then, of course, when she starts dreaming about marrying him, she looks like she's super happy and he just has to get there at that one point.
Yeah.
And he doesn't stay long enough for anything. If he just got there a minute before or whatever, but of course he thinks she's super happy and then he just walks away.
Well, because she was fantasizing about him, yeah.
Such a trope.
Yeah.
Right, but like, you know, they always have to, every movie has to have that, like, that controversy in the middle to make it go like, oh no, it's over.
It's
like,
the conflict. You need the conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny when the girlfriend comes back in, the what do you call it, the ex-fiance comes back in.
Linda.
And she's like, I decided that I'll settle for you in a way, you know, and he's like, what are you doing in my Van Halen t-shirt?
You're gonna jinx the band. It's gonna break up. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band. They're gonna break up. And then in the trivia, it says that David Lee Roth left Van Halen in 1985, and that was the year in which this movie is set.
Okay. So yeah, maybe yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's
right. Summer, right? We already know it was summer, so maybe Dave left in the fall. It works. It tracks.
Yeah.
If you look at the credits. There's obviously a lot of songs that were not on the actual soundtrack. Like I had the soundtrack. There was some songs that weren't there. And it's funny, Madonna got credit just because he mentioned it.
Really?
Yeah. You know when he goes, we're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Just because, you know, he quoted the lyrics and talked about the song, Madonna. That's right
well,
in the
and then also like the holiday song is kind of what he was singing when he was like, I live in my sister's basement.
Right. But I love like, George in the background because he's like, I live in my sister's basement. And he's like,
crying.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Like still like oblivious to the way.
That was one of my favorite characters, honestly. I literally love George. He was
now,
awesome. I would love him.
I got to tell you, my wife, Wendy, laughed so much the first time we watched this at a specific part that we had to pause it and then rewind it and watch her like enjoy it again for another couple of times. And that was when he says, me, sideburns lady, and the mutants over at table 9.
Yes. Yep. And he was like, we got to do something before this fat guy over here. He says something like, is not going to get more food. We're going to cut the cake or something. What does he say? Jay, you know the word.
He was like, let's cut the cake before the fat guy it's going to get upset because we haven't eaten recently.
And he was like, that's true.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know that line escapes me, but like, yeah, she lost her mind when that happened. Yeah, it's just there's a lot to enjoy about this, just the interaction, the way he interacts with Drew,
friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like just you know, while he's talking to her, he's like, you know, the kid vomits. And he's like, I don't know, I don't think anybody can throw up more than that kid. I think I saw a boot come out of him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
he handles her very well. She was really sad and down and taking care of the kid, and he came out and like made everything good. And you could already tell they had chemistry at that moment. They didn't have to be like, well, nice to meet you, see you later. They instantly had that chemistry that led to more and more chemistry as the movie went on.
Well, I loved his friend with the Michael Jackson glove and jacket. Yeah. And he was like, first time he met you, he said he was going to give it to you or something like that. He was like, shut up. He walks away.
Yeah. He's like, he's teasing. I would never say that. No, you told me you were going to give it to her. Yeah. He just makes it worse.
Yeah.
And he's like, say hello to your brother Tito.
Yeah.
Chucks him the bird.
Yeah.
How about the part where he's trying to get a job and he's like, look, just can you just give me some business cards with my name on it? I'm just trying to impress somebody.
Yeah, Kevin Nealon, I think, was the bank guy.
It's funny. He's like, just give me the job.
Get out. Right.
Yeah. Another fun cameo.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of cameos, going back to the chef, the weird chef guy, that's where Robert Smigel, legendary SNL writer.
Really? He's the guy who does the Triumph, right?
Funhouse. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does Triumph. Yeah.
Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Yep. That's him.
You know who Triumph, the insult comic dog?
Yeah.
He was from. He was like a puppet.
He was on Conan a lot. Conan, I think that's O'Brien. Where it started. It was a little sock puppet dog.
Oh, okay.
With a cigar. Very rubberized. He always had a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. And then he spent a lot of time on SNL.
But now that you say that, I can see him.
Yeah.
He was funny. He reminds me of the guy from, do you guys ever see the sitcom with the two girls in it? Two Broke Girls?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was.
He reminds me of that. That
had you not come up with anything, we were like, yeah, we've seen it.
He just reminds me of every that. Every sitcom. The net starting and like the hair sticking out and he's always hitting on the girl.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that, but like I've seen like clips.
It was funny. Like that guy was funny.
Yeah, in the bar when like you know like in after he's finding out that when he says I'm not happy, you know, like, I grew up idolizing guys named you know like Fonzie and Vinnie Barbarino, you know what happened to them? that's what we played earlier for the he goes you know the bull riding movie and Fonzie's a director. I don't know. But I love a minute later they go in. And he's teaching him how to moonwalk to Jam On It by Nucleus, which I love that song. I know it's a silly song, but it's just like a part like of my youth.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to break dance when I was a kid, like sixth grade, seventh grade, all that.
Remember the movie Breakin'? I went to the movies to see that.
Me too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, Breakin' 2 is, I'm more partial to Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I don't know which one I went to the movie. I saw one at the theater.
One of them.
One of them I saw.
Did we, Jay, you said you didn't see this at the theater. Melanie, did you see it at the movie theater?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either. And I'm sure I did because I was of age, obviously. Well, I was, I was old enough to go on my, I was 27. Of course, I was old enough to go on my own.
Yeah, when did it come out? 97? Yeah,
97. It was 97? Okay, I was 25 then. I was much too young to go on my own. So I probably didn't. No, but I'm sure I rushed out and got the DVD. And like you said, Jay, I had multiple copies. And then whenever it's free on one of the streaming services, I would watch it. And it's also the kind of movie that once you've watched it 15 times, you can jump in and out at any time. It could just be on TV. And that's another thing. If it was on network TV, they didn't really cut anything out. So it was still enjoyable on network TV. I don't remember a lot of swearing in it. I'm sure there was just obviously the song, a little bit.
The song that he sings when he's all mad.
Yeah, yeah. But that was an easy
one. When the little boy said to the fiance that you're a bitch.
Oh. That still might even stay.
Yeah. Today.
Who was that kid again, though? Who was that kid again, Jay?
Oh, the kid that played in, he was the little boy in Stir of Echoes.
That's right. That's right.
But what was it? Oh, I have a side story. It's adorable. I went to like Providence Bruins a couple years ago, probably 5+ years ago. Anyways, and it's like intermission and I go, hey, Elaine, my daughter, Elaine, I go, hey, Elaine, check it out. It's the Zamboni. And she goes, yeah, we know. And she goes, wiki. And she goes, cause it's Zamboni. And I was like, no, that's Jam On It. I was like, I love it though. I said, I love that you're thinking this way. No, I was like, that's a song called Jam On It, not Zamboni.
That sounds like a Weird Al song. You should write that.
Right. Y'all,
Zamboni instead of Jam On It.
Me and my cousin Rhonda used to do that. We literally used to take songs constantly and tear them apart and do what Weird Al did all the time.
I've done that. Mm-hmm. Which makes you wonder, how difficult could it be?
Yeah.
Why is the guy such a star? And there's no other Weird Al, really. He is the only Weird Al. I think everyone just respected him so much, we decided we're not going to try. We're not going to go for it.
One of my funniest ones from him was the one that was, instead of Gangster's Paradise.
Amish.
And then there was a White and Nerdy one. Was so
White
funny.
And Nerdy.
Those are my favorite videos.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so funny. It's done so well. And it became so popular that people, once they heard the other song, like I remember them, like the guy, the original artist saying, people would come up to me and go, hey man, you did a version of Weird Al's tune?
Well, that just came up on something. Oh, I was watching Tacoma FD with the guys from Broken Lizard. It's on True TV. It's a funny show, 4 seasons. Uh-huh. Anyway, they were talking about Weird Al. One of the guys was writing his own songs, and one of the dumber firefighters thought that artists were covering Weird Al.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so same funny. Thing. That was, I just saw that the other day.
I love in the White and Nerdy how the guy is like dancing. And you know, the other guy is kind of dancing like this in the background.
You got Key and Peele are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But every time, like, because I love Gangster's Paradise. So every time I'm listening to that song with my kids, you cannot help singing the Amish Paradise song. Like, you know, I churn butter once or twice, you know, like, we sell quilts at discount price. Like, no matter, I'll be singing Gangster's Paradise and I'll start putting those words in.
I like hearing the stories that are like, that he would tell about people, like, you know, for instance, when he asked, he always asked permission if he could do it. And I remember the story of him asking Kurt Cobain if he could do, you know, a joke on his song, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And Kurt Cobain goes, it's not about food, is it? And he's like, which is a great question because, you know, there was Fat, Eat It, I Love Rocky Road, My Bologna. Right. No, but I'm saying like, you know, at this point, it's like, okay, you don't have to keep doing this, right? And he was like, no, it's about how people can't understand your lyrics. Which is a great.
It was so funny. That was so funny. Sure I love all of his videos. They're just, they crack me up. That's just a huge thing of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, there's so much in this movie that, like I said, the jokes are there. The pop culture is there, but it's not telling the story. We're enjoying those things, but we're really also, like the writing is done so well that I think we're enjoying a lot more. Like, for instance, he pulls up to pass the duchy, like, to go visit. When Robbie loses the girl... Yeah. And loses his fiance, and he's depressed all in the basement. And his friend shows up to pass the duchy. And he's like talking to the brother-in-law for a second. He's like, I don't want to be known as the guy with the brother-in-law of the town nut job. And he's like, I know. And he's walking into the house. He's like, pass the duchy on the left. You know, he starts like singing it to himself.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's downstairs, you know, with the, when he starts asking him, I was like, hey, do you use Downy? No.
I was just going to say that. I love when they start talking about the laundry detergent. And he was like, no, it's like color safe, whatever. Okay, can you leave now or whatever?
All temperature.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Very subtle jokes. Those are very subtle.
Yeah. And he's like, you can run, wash your clothes in any color and your colors don't run together. Any temperature and the colors don't run together. And he goes, really?
Yeah.
Now leave me alone.
Yeah. And he's like laying on the side of the bed next to him.
Right.
I haven't done anything since high school. Like,
oh, so good. Yeah. And then, like, you know, obviously, like, you know, it's a superficial character, Glenn, you know, like the guy who's superficial. He's full of just like everything's about money. But it also shows how, like, you know, the 80s were all loaded, you know, like everything was like a money hungry. Time
Wall so, Street, yeah,
right. Well, and money, what's money, mom money. Saying about Glenn? You know, Glenn is a keeper.
Yeah,
like you're thinking about leaving him for the wedding singer. You know what I mean? It's like we need you to have a future.
Yeah,
like because this guy is rich. You know, so that somehow makes him a good person.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He never would have treated her good. She would have been alone all the time.
Oh yeah,
and he would have been cheating on her the entire time. So she would have been miserable.
It was a different time, though, so they really did, and it wasn't so far off from the 80s, so they remember. It was, you know, you might marry somebody successful, you raise the kids, you got three or four kids, the husband stays at work and golfs on the weekends and cheats on her, and, you know, that was a mindset early, I would say early to mid-80s, you know, and then and then things changed for the better. But I think it really did define the superficial relationship of the time. And then the Robbie and, what was her name?
Julia.
Julia. Yeah. Robbie and Julia's story was a little bit more progressive, I think.
I also loved her friend that was always wearing, like, you know, Marsha Brady. I'm always going to think of her like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically married to Ben Stiller, but always, she's always dressed like Madonna. Yeah. The whole.
She was funny. She's great.
Yeah. She was awesome. She was
so great. And she's not, like, she's kind of a bitch, but she's not. Like,
no, she's a good person.
No,
another stereotypical woman of the time, I think.
Right. Yeah. When I say kind of a bitch, like, she's kind of a jerk, like, to him when she's like, it's important to everybody. Like, you know, when she treats him badly, like, you know, by the fact that, like, you like her, don't you?
Yeah.
You know? But then she turns around and, like, you know, runs to get him and says she was going to see him, you know, going to see, you know, to say that she was falling for you, you know. Yeah. So, like, if she was a total bitch, she wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Yeah. She really, I think as soon as she realized that Julia liked him, then she was wanted them to kind of be together. Hmm. She didn't realize that at first, I think.
Like, there's just, you know, how about, like, even stuff like when he kisses her, because it's like, they're like, well, we got to see how it is. Like, you know, that part with like, now, I mean, I can't be, like, using tongue. No, no, not tongue. Church tongue. What's church tongue?
Exactly.
And then they kiss and
go ahead. Yeah, that was a pivotal scene as well. And, I mean, that really showed their acting chops, both of them. And when Glenn walks in and they're just speechless. And those are things I remember, too, because he wasn't really known for his acting. Mm-hmm. And... she was a great kid actress, but she still had a lot to prove as an adult. And that moment was really pivotal for both of them, I think.
Do you remember what he said? Actors. Do you remember what he said?
Go ahead. I'll screw up all the quotes.
No,
Jay,
it's fine.
You've got the quotes.
I know. I'll never say that exactly.
Goes, hey, I kissed her, but it didn't mean anything. Kissed who? Oh, me. The friend goes, oh, me. Yeah, who hasn't?
Yeah.
It was so quick too. It was so quick.
Yeah.
That was great.
And then as far as Marsha Brady goes, that hurt her feelings, didn't it? Like that was a moment too. You're like, this girl isn't so superficial. She's got feelings. Because she she didn't like when he said that. And you felt bad for her.
Well, remember when they were in the club, he said something like, I think it was when they were in the club, that guy said something like that. About giving it to Robbie or something, and you know, or something, and she said something like, "Just because I'm going home," I don't know what she said. You don't probably remember, because I'm going home doesn't mean he's gonna. And she's like, "Okay, you're right," or whatever.
Yeah.
What was that? You probably remember the words.
Yeah, it was like something like, just because I'm going, like, you know, I'm going on a date with him doesn't mean he's gonna get lucky.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, like that does kind of does. Yeah, that was great. Like, you know, you get but like you can also, like, there's subtle things, not just how he treats her. Like, you know, like when with the, you know, like with Robbie saying, when he's saying to Robbie, you know, I work long hours, she's never going to know, I cheat on her on the weekends type of things. You know, there's other subtle things that he does that's not, like, you know, it makes you go, "Oh, hurry up and get rid of him." Like like when he was like, you know, like, I got a CD player. And she's like, "You want to play a record?" "No, Jules. It's a CD player." Like, and he kind of treats her like shit. Like, you know, he goes like, "What are you, stupid?"
Yeah.
But I do like
or
that
when
she's...
give her the window seat.
Right?
Yeah.
Just little subtle things like that.
Or doesn't want to get married or whatever she wanted to do. It's like, it's your wedding. You can do whatever you want. Whatever makes you happy.
Right.
He doesn't even want to, like, help pick out anything. She has to go somewhere. She has to go to Robbie, a friend. Like, you should be marrying your friend. You shouldn't have to go to someone else all the time if you want to talk about something or help pick stuff out for your wedding. Like, he was like, "Oh, that's kind of your thing." Like, he's such an asshole.
Hmm.
Yes, he doesn't want any part of any of it. You know what I mean? Like
the scene where they're, I forget, maybe the florist or something, and they were pretending to be brother and sister, and then she bites him. I don't know if that was improv or what, but it was so random.
And I love the way the lady's face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when it's, but like she lists all the people who aren't together anymore. Woody and Mia, Donald and Ivana.
Yes.
Bert and Lonnie.
Yes. That was a messy divorce.
Like everybody's all like apart now. Like I just know you're going to be together, just like all those people.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything is, there's so many good moments, so many one-liners. Like how about
or the
like,
old lady when she was like, I how many times she, I think she said she slept with 8 men because that was a lot back then. That was like, what'd she say? That's like 100 now or something. What did she say?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, there'd be like 300 or something. Like I forget that part, but
I loved everything with that lady in it. Every single part that she was in and everything that came out of her mouth. She was just adorable. I loved her.
Yeah. No, it was, she was great. Yeah. I mean like the plane. Yeah, I mean, like, you got Billy Idol. It's funny. Yes. You got modern Billy Idol, who's older, and you can see his, you know, wrinkles and stuff. And then the on the magazine, he's all young.
He did age very well, though. He aged very
well. Oh, no, I'm just talking about, like, if you just look at the comparison, it's really, like, a kind of a vast difference. Yeah. Like, he's like a tiny Billy Idol.
That was almost like them saying, hey, we get it. The guy's older. Let's make a joke out of it.
Oh, sure.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And then, like, you got, he's on the plane, and then he's got, like, the moment where they realize the lady, the stewardess says, you know, this guy that thinks he's Don Johnson just asked me to be in the Mile High Club. I mean, everything. It's just, it's a great feel good film.
Mm. Yeah. And they know right there, obviously he knows right there who it is, but how much of an ass is that? Like, he's literally on the way to go get married right now. Mm. His fiance is on the plane right next to him. And he's like, hey, like to some other waitress, like he's going to go have sex on the airplane with some other waitress. Like you can't, you almost just want him to get thrown off the plane.
Mm. Well, earlier when he said, like, I got tickets to Vegas, you know, to say that let's go get married there. Yeah. And she's like, but Las Vegas? And he goes, Jules, it's the romance capital of the world. Like, he's not even, like, he has no clue whatsoever about, you know, it's funny. Like, I one last thing that I love is he's too clueless to understand why it'd be funny that Julia's name is going to be Julia Gulia.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, he has no clue why that's funny.
Like, he's like, why is that funny? I don't know.
I don't know. You're so quick to say that, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to argue with him. He wasn't going to explain it to him. Just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the perfect wording for that.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, and then obviously he ends with the song, which is, like I said, that I talked about it earlier, the one that he... like sings to her in the plane. And then how great is Steve Buscemi at the end singing True? Like they hire him to be the wedding singer.
Yeah.
Like for Robbie and Julia.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. I love that guy so much.
Yeah.
And then what I thought was cute too, though, just offset is in the beginning is when he was getting stood up at the wedding. And George is sitting there crying hysterically. It was so funny.
What's great about that is that he's like turning to the older woman. And he's like the old lady, and he's like,
they're both crying.
And then Robbie throws one thing, rah! And then like, oh god, like you just see it's already down his face, already. The mascara is already down like to the like his mouth.
He was a good actor, really was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, like, you know what I constantly hear? When I'm hearing Don't Stop Believing, if it's like, you know, like, I go, so it was a bad note. like I always think of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you know, there was a note.
You sound just like him when you do that.
Well,
I think, like, I've mentioned it already, but I think one of my favorites, I know I've already mentioned it, but when he was just singing, when he was like at that wedding, when he was all wicked upset and that guy punches him out and everything. But I mean, just everything that he's saying, the love stinks, and he's like screaming at everybody. And I live in my sister's basement. That cracked me up probably more than anything was I live in my sister's basement line.
How about, I have a microphone and you don't.
Yeah. I have a microphone and you don't.
Oh yeah.
I gotta show you guys something. This one's gonna I'll put it up over the actual. But I'm gonna show you on here, and this will blow your mind.
You better with this buildup.
This guy here.
Oh yeah.
This guy here is the kid who grabs.
Oh no way!
Yeah, I think I knew that.
Oh my god! Oh, it looks the like one it. That she dances with.
The big kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also thought that was a really nice part.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a good guy. I mean, he literally sees that this, and I would be the same way because I cannot stand it. If I was a teacher and I mean, some teachers I've seen, like I got picked on when I was little and the teacher just didn't do anything, not only didn't do anything about it, but she'd go in on it, which I thought was insane. Like I would be the exact opposite. Like if I saw somebody picking and being a bully to other kids, I mean, oh my God. But I thought that was so nice that, like, he saw that kid was sad. He was alone. The girl, you know, didn't want to dance with him. He didn't really have any friends, all that. And he just, you know, did that for him. I thought that was so nice. And then they were both in on it together. That was just the nicest thing ever. That kid's been in something else.
The kid that's eating a lot. Like
that's right. The cake, the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he's a doctor now.
Oh, is he really? Yeah. I love that movie, Matilda. That was so cute.
But what's great about that scene is that also shows how much they have a connection because he didn't say, hey, let's do something nice for this kid.
Yeah.
She saw him talking to him, and he says, I want you to pick out the coolest, most unlosery guy of the bunch.
Yeah.
You know, and she knew exactly who to grab.
Yeah.
And it was just so good. And by the way,
they made a fantastic team.
I love that song that he was singing. And that's not on the soundtrack.
No. Oh, which one?
It was something called That's All. It was like an old song. But I loved the way he sang it. I thought he did a really nice job. It would have been like a joy to listen to. It's nowhere. So if you want to.
He's a great musician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a really nice voice. I don't realize that. Yeah.
It's just like I would like to hear that, but it's like if you want to hear it, you have to listen to it on YouTube with all the extra like chit chat and sound effects and whatnot. So
I think like they did such a good job, both of them acting, that you almost like hope that they are a couple because they just seem like, you know what I mean? Like when you watch a movie and people are just like that and you just want them to be together.
They're great friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the closest we'll get, but at least we know that because they've been in three movies together.
Yeah. 50 First Dates, this one. What was the other one again?
Blended.
It's more popular.
Blended, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Blended. Yeah. 50 First Dates was amazing, too. She was great. Actually, whatever the two of them are in is
Blended's
amazing.
Good. It's just, a little odd. It's cute. At times, they get a little silly at times,
Like the ostrich fight.
Terry Crews' character is very odd. Like, you know, it's funny, but I'm saying it's not as strong as the others. But either way, you know, it's also like quite sad at times when you watch it. You want to watch a movie? Let's watch the movie. You want to do a TMI?
It's time for TMI with Melanie.
Listen to this. I am in the bathroom right before the movie starts.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the stall and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Mine are at home in a display case above my bed.
TMI, my friends.
TMI, too much information. I used to say don't go there, but that's lame.
Now, here's Melanie with your timeless movie info.
All right, Melanie.
Okay.
Here we go.
So the budget was $18 million and it grossed $123.3 million.
Wow.
Director Frank Caracci, am I saying that right?
I don't know. I'm just going to give you credit.
Okay. He asked Carrie Fisher to actually polish the script. She spent 6 months on it. And when she was asked what her secret was, her secret sauce, they said, what was for the script doctoring, she replied, make the women smarter and the love scenes better. So she had a big hand in that. Nice. The butterfly jean jacket that Julia wears throughout the entire movie belongs to Drew Barrymore. Director Frank liked her jacket so much that he told her to wear it as part of her costume. The Wedding Singer musical opened at the Al Hirschfeld Theater in April 27, 2006 and ran for 285 performances, and it was nominated for the 2006 Tony Awards for Best Musical, actor Stephen Lynch, book and score. And that's all I have because I had already said the other things during the thing.
Hmm.
I got one.
Yeah, say so.
There's a character that's referred to as Eric Lamensoff in the Wedding Singer click. You don't mess with the Zohan and Jack and Jill. And then that name became Kevin James's name in Grown Ups.
Oh, wow.
So there's a theory that all of these movies are connected.
Okay.
Like a the Sandler multiverse.
Well, yeah, he names things after like people, like old friends of his and stuff like that. The Lamensoff name has been used a couple times. And I noticed that, like, in other, I think it was in even other stuff like the Hubie Halloween movie and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny movie.
That is cute. Mm-hmm. You see that, Melanie?
The Hubie
Halloween?
Just came out a couple years ago.
Literally cannot even remember if I watched it because I know I wanted to, and I cannot remember if I watched that. Because I'm just getting it confused with the other one that we saw recently with
the one with Wayans brothers. Yeah, Marlon Wayans. Yeah. That was good, too.
They were all in Milford one day because they were filming at the Mendon Drive-In.
Wow, no way.
Mm-hmm. Maya Rudolph was shopping at Target, and I was hearing all these things secondhand. They were bowling at Pins. So I'm running around like a jackass all day trying to find these guys.
I don't know what I
was going to say if I ever found them.
Yeah.
But as like a radio guy, I just assume that everyone would be my best friend if I met them because I'm in the entertainment business. It's probably for the best that I did not find them. Hmm. But the drive-in is actually Mendon Twin Drive-In. Not
I know the drive-in, yeah, very well because I grew up going there my entire life.
Yeah.
And my best friend worked at the bar that was next door to it. So I used to hang out with her constantly, and then we just could see the movies. And then I remember sneaking tons of people in when they used to do it by the car. And then, drive-in theaters are so important to me, and there's not a heck of a lot of them down here, and I haven't been to the ones down here. There is like one left, but there is two drive-ins that I used to go to constantly up north, and that was one of them. And so about 4 or 5 years ago, when I actually went to Massachusetts and I took my kids there for the first time, that was one thing that I had to do. I had to go to the Mendon Drive-In, and it was in October, and it was freezing. It was freaking freezing, and I think we're like one of the four cars that were there, but I had to go, and I was so happy that it was still there. So,
super. Well, if you watch Hubie Halloween, you can relive your glory days. It's right there. They have a whole scene there.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
And I think the people were expected to be there like from like dark until like dawn.
Wow. Something like that. Yeah, because it's a night scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, can you imagine like sitting all night? You're like, it's like 3 in the morning. You're like, and it had to be certain types of cars. Like, I know that it was like certain ages or certain things. I don't remember the details, but I just remember.
I know I wanted to see that, and now I just can't remember. I don't think I have now that you mentioned that. I know I would have recognized that theater and that drive-in theater.
Well, you would have recognized it was Adam Sandler and all of his friends. You would have remembered. Hmm. It's good. Check it out. It just came out like 2 years ago, and now it's a Halloween favorite of ours.
It's time now for Final Judgment. Are you ready to rubber stamp this bitch? Here's the Final Judgment.
It's time for Final Judgment, where we talk about fact, not opinion. Or opinion, not fact. You decide. Does it hold up today? Ray?
It holds up to someone of a certain age. That's it. If you loved it, if you live the 80s, it holds up. If I watch this just like the Goldbergs with my kids, I have to explain every single scene, whether they ask me to or not. I'm constantly pausing to tell them a fun fact about that scene, and it drives everybody in my house nuts. So it doesn't hold up to anybody under, even under 40, okay. I think. Under 35 maybe, but that's, yeah, but it does. So it does hold up and it doesn't hold up. That's my answer. All right. I'm sticking with it.
That's okay.
So I'm going to say I agree with Ray in a way because I do the same thing. I have to keep, I did it the other day with something. I had to stop something. I said, do you know why they said that? Because, and my kids are like, okay, who freaking cares? Just hit play.
I get three with everything we watch together. And they, my kids will tell me before the movie starts, you got three.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. I forgot what we were watching. My daughter Chloe was like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, okay. And I hit play. Like, but with this one,
sinking
actually,
into the chair.
Yeah. They're all like, shut up, mom. And like, just keep playing it. But this one, and so I agree with what you're saying because you have to, because they probably wouldn't understand certain like gags or jokes or whatever. Just even like the Van Halen joke, they wouldn't understand that. Mm-hmm. And that they actually did break up. So they wouldn't know that. But just being an eight, I'm like such, like, I love the 80s so much. And I make them watch, you have no idea how many things I make them watch that are from this time frame. So because it's set back in an 80s time and they watched the, I go, what's the freaking show that we all watched with the
Goldbergs?
No. It was recent that all the kids liked.
Stranger Things.
Thank you. So that was set back in the 80s. So, and you know,
You had to explain that a lot too to the kids.
Well, and the thing is like they are very well of how the 80s were and how people looked and how they dressed and how things were. And so they're, you know, they didn't have to really explain any of that, but they also thought it was hilarious. Like, I forgot when I first showed it to them, but they are now 18 and 19, and I showed it to them a long time ago. In fact, the DVD that I actually own is my younger daughter's because she likes it so much, and she's 18. So they love it. They literally love it, especially Chloe. She thinks it's the funniest movie. So they like it, and they understand it. But, you know, they wouldn't understand certain things like we do. Mm. They probably don't care about those as much. But as far as being as funny as hell in every single scene, I mean, they were just laughing hysterically, so... I'm going to say it does hold up, but I agree with what you're saying, but I want to say it holds up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it does. And I think the reason I think it does is because it's not a 90s movie. It's a period piece, kind of, you know, like, yeah. You know, and there's enough 80s pop culture out there like Stranger Things that is immensely popular that I think enough people who are just, you know, of any age, like sort of like appreciate, even if they don't understand every aspect, you know, or they might show interest now in such a thing because they're hearing it. Like that song, I'm going to talk about Stranger Things for a second, but that Running Up the Hill, that song, like, I think it went to number one.
Yeah.
Like recently, like after the last season of Stranger Things.
Yeah. Like Kate Bush.
So, yeah. Right, and that's song.
She was I don't know if she was inducted, but nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow, but I don't know if that would have happened. Like, did anything as far as pop radio back in 1980, whatever. Like, I think it was more of an alternative song that, like, my brother knew about it, you know, and stuff. Right. Like, you know, when he was in college and stuff like that. I don't think it was a big thing, like on the regular radio. So, like, think of what that did. Even the song Master of Puppets crossed over the top 40 because of that. So, like, I think it's just like, you know, anything can spark interest.
For people who originally weren't listening to that thing, you know what I mean? That they both appreciated both of those songs that had never maybe even heard them before or wasn't listening to them. And now it's probably on their phone as a saved song or something.
Right, right. So, like, I'm saying, so I think people could enjoy a lot from this. And even if they're not, you know, from this time or whatever. Because there's so much to it.
It's just too funny. Everyone's gonna understand like what it's like to have their heart broken, right? Which is what it's about. And then, like, you know, everybody knows, you know, probably what it's like to maybe be in love with somebody or, you know, or like somebody, and then that person doesn't like you the same way, or you think they don't like you the same way, or just the funny things of it. I mean, just the fun, like I said, like when you know he's gotten his heart broken, he's up there singing and like screaming. I'm like, that is, I mean, anybody is going to laugh their ass off on that. It's just too funny. Like, everything in it is just that maybe the like little tiny 80s things they wouldn't understand, but they're going to understand like just the jokes, you know, a lot of them, and just how, like, just how he acts is, you know, and I don't know. He's just too good in it to not love it.
It's so good. And then one last thing for me. I do like the moment because who hasn't done this when you're trying to sing 99 Luff Balloons and you go 99 Luff Balloons, na 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 na, you can't, nobody, unless you speak German, you're probably not going to get it, you know.
Yeah.
And she does that, and it's like, yes, that's exactly what we all do.
Yeah.
You know.
So good.
So. All right, man. Ray, thank you so much for joining us for this, man.
Thank you.
I'm psyched that we finally were able to, like, I was like, no, he can't do it this week. Then let's push it back. I don't want to do it without him. We're already.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love doing 80s movies with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my jam. Yeah. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to remind people anything that you get going on, your different podcasts and stuff.
Well, I got the New England Legends, where you can find wherever you get your podcast, with Jeff Belanger, where we just talk about weird things in New England. And Don't Quit Your Day Job if you're a musician or you just like local music. I talk to local musicians from cover bands, cover artists, people playing other people's songs. There's a whole bunch of stories to be told, and there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes that people don't realize. You're not just watching somebody for 3 hours. And I do that once a week as well. Don't Quit Your Day Job.
Awesome.
Sounds like you're pretty busy.
A little bit.
Yeah. And plus you're doing side gigs and stuff like that, right? Like doing music.
I got the bands and everything. And,
nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And the radio thing. And yeah, it's all good.
Listen, so on the behalf of the absent Chris Martineau, I'd like to thank Melanie Howerton and Ray Osher for being here. And I'm Jay Fortier, and we are the Film Crickets. And remember, movies may not age like fine wine, but we drink it anyway. Bye. We'll be right back.